Back pain and stiffness made mornings rough.
Pain made it tough to sleep until I started Cosentyx.
Cosentyx secukinumab is the number one prescribed treatment for adults that targets IL-17A, a molecule that may play a role in inflammation that contributes to ankylosing spondyloarthritis or non-radiographic axial spondyloarthritis, two types of inflammatory arthritis of the spine. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com. Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
I got real relief with Cosentyx.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
On News Talk.
Now, Holy Week is the most important week for the Pope and for Catholics across the world. And in Rome, one historic ceremony will take place over Holy Week, which is the canonization of a 15-year-old boy. He's died, of course. His name is Carlo Acutis. So who is this first millennial saint? To tell us more, we're joined by Colm Flynn, Vatican correspondent for EWTN News. Colm, good morning.
Hey, Pat, a very good morning from the Eternal City.
Before we talk about the canonization of Carlo Acutis, you might tell us, bring us an update on the Pope's health.
Yeah, and before we talk about the miracles attributed to Carlo Acutis, this, you could say, Pat, is a bit of a miracle in itself that we see Pope Francis back at the Vatican, because you'll remember he was discharged from hospital last month. He was there for 38 days in the Gemelli Hospital, the longest hospital stay of his entire papacy. And the day before he was released, the doctor said, look, the Pope, he describes himself as an impatient patient. He wants to get out of the hospital and back to work at the Vatican. But they said, make no mistake about it, on two occasions, we were faced with the decision, do we let the Holy Father go or do we throw everything at it in terms of treatments and medicines? So he almost died on two occasions. We were looking, everyone around here thought, at another conclave on the horizon. But now he's recovering at the Vatican in Casa Santa Marta, where he lives. He's been given 2 months of strict rest by the doctors, which he's not really keeping to, but he's the Pope, he makes the decisions. And just 2 days ago, Pat, the Vatican announced that he is continuing his respiratory and motor physiotherapy. His voice is slightly improving, but at 88 years young, Pat, and already with an underlying medical condition in his lungs, you can see that his recent hospitalization and that critical condition, it really has taken a toll on him.
But when he appeared in St. Peter's Square, the oxygen tubes that had been feeding were missing in his last appearance. So there is a discernible improvement.
Yeah, well, actually, he's appeared 3 times publicly since being released from hospital. Now, on one of those occasions, you could see it was really a spur of the moment. It was the first time we've seen him not wear his papal attire, not with the hat, not with the white cassock, and that really threw people. And you can imagine, Pat, the surprise of the pilgrims and the tourists in St. Peter's Basilica when all of a sudden a side door opened up and through coming in the wheelchair with a small entourage was, people had to look twice, and there was even debate online, is this video real? It was the Pope wearing a white t-shirt with a blanket around him. He had the oxygen tubes. He looked very vulnerable, very, very weak. But since that video went viral, he has been seen twice back looking as we would be used to seeing Pope Francis without the oxygen tubes. But normally, Pat, he would be presiding over all of the liturgical events here in Rome this week. He's not going to be presiding over any of them. But already, just after Palm Sunday Mass, he made a brief appearance. He said a few quick words. And I think that's kind of the most we're going to see of him across the week, just a little glimpse here or there.
In terms of the Pope in casual attire, as it were, with a t-shirt, I mean, this was a Pope in the early days of his papacy who, we're told, used to go walkabout at night, unrecognizably so, just to kind of be anonymous again.
Yeah, well, it's so interesting you say that, because this Pope is breaking the mold from, I mean, you look, just think of who came before him, Pope Benedict XVI, before that, Pope John Paul II. The first Latin American Pope, even when he was announced as the Pope and they said the first one from Latin America, you can imagine alarm bells were going off all across the Sistine Chapel. But he said, I'm not going to live in the Apostolic Palace. I'll stay in a small apartment. I'm not going to wear the traditional cassocks. I'll wear something white and simple. I'm not going to holiday at the Papal Palace in Castle Gandolfo, an hour outside of Rome, because the poor don't have holidays in papal palaces. So we look at the decision to go through the Basilica just wearing a t-shirt and a blanket. You know, a lot of people looking online say this is deliberate. It's sending out a signal, because just like you mentioned there, Pat, the culture war in the United Kingdom, we have the culture war in the United States. Within the Catholic faith and the Catholic Church, you have a really strong ideological divide between the kind of more liberal progressive side of the church and then the more traditional side of the church. Of course, the progressive liberal one favouring Pope Francis, the other side maybe more confused and dismayed by some of his decisions and longing for the days of someone like Pope Benedict XVI. So this has been a fascinating time, Pat, to be here covering it and then looking to what might happen next after the next conclave.
Now, you were recently on a trip to Buenos Aires. He, of course, Argentinian. Are they disturbed that he has not made a trip as Pope?
Back pain and stiffness made mornings rough.
Pain made it tough to sleep until I started Cosentyx.
Cosentyx secukinumab is the number one prescribed treatment for adults that targets IL-17A, a molecule that may play a role in inflammation that contributes to ankylosing spondyloarthritis or non-radiographic axial spondyloarthritis, two types of inflammatory arthritis of the spine. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com. Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
I got real relief with Cosentyx.
To his home country.
You know what? It was fascinating being there. I was there for a week. We were recording a documentary for EWTN. So we went right across the city and another city called Cordoba, where he spent 2 years as the rector of the seminary. Many people believe he was actually kind of sent there because he was causing a lot of trouble when he was in a senior position in the Jesuits back in the capital. Because you remember, Pat, this was a very turbulent time politically. You had the guerrilla wars, you had a lot of corruption in society. And as Archbishop of Buenos Aires, he was the most powerful Catholic in the whole country. And he would use his sermons, he would call out from the pulpit those in power, he would denounce corruption. And one of the political leaders at the time, actually, after hearing one of his sermons, famously went outside the cathedral and said, Jorge Bergoglio is now the head of the opposition. So you had a split in society, too. A lot of people who said yay and they championed him, and a lot of people who saw him as a political enemy and not staying in his lane. So the sense I got from people I interviewed, and we met some of his childhood friends. We met a woman who claims to have been his first girlfriend, even back in the villas of Buenos Aires. We interviewed his assistants who worked with him closely for over a decade. And I couldn't get a straight answer as to why he has never returned to Argentina. The last two popes I went, of course, went triumphantly back to Germany and to Poland. But why he has never gone back since 2013. And remember, Pat, he's been to other countries in Latin America. Last year, I went with him to Papua New Guinea, to East Timor, to South Sudan, to Mongolia. He has travelled to the ends of the world, but never home. So I asked his assistant, the man who worked closely with him, a priest. I said, look, is it a bit of that he doesn't want to come back because of the bad blood? Is it that the people don't want him back? Or is it a bit of both? And he just kind of paused. He looked at me and he smiled and he said, you know what, even for us, that's the $1 million question.
Well, he still supports Argentina, the football team.
We went to visit San Lorenzo, the club where he still pays his membership. They told me every month they get a payment from the Vatican for Pope Francis's membership.
Now, on to the canonization of Carlo Acutis, a teenager who died from leukemia.
Yeah, this is an extraordinary story because, you know, when we think of saints of the church, you think of some of the great famous names like Padre Pio, Francis the Savior, Mother Teresa, and so on. But what makes Carlo Acutis extraordinary is that for many Catholics, particularly young Catholics, who maybe when they look at other saints, you know, they can read about their lives in the history books, but they might find it a bit harder to relate to them because, well, you know, the life that they led was much different to mine, and how could we have parallels? But for someone like Carlo Acutis, he was born in 1991, born in London, but raised in Milan. He was someone who grew up at the early stages of the internet. He was someone who wore a tracksuit and trainers. He loved creating websites. So he's someone that, first of all, many young people can relate to, and they see parallels in their own life. But the story of him being the first millennial saint, the first what they call God's influencer, because he was not only a gamer, but he was a computer programmer. And, you know, to become a saint, it's a long road. There are many different steps and checks. But really, his parents say that from a young age, he had this particular devotion to the Eucharist, which, of course, is the summit of the Catholic faith, what it's all about. And even though they were non-practicing Catholics, they were not going to Mass or saying the rosary at home. For some reason, as a young boy, whatever influenced him, he kept insisting that he wanted to receive communion. He wanted to receive the Eucharist. He wanted to pray the rosary. So they said, OK, we'll go along with this. And they encouraged him. Then when he got a bit older and he got into computers, he decided to help the local parish and the Archdiocese in Milan to help them with their website. Then he used his programming and coding skills to create his own website, where he went, researched around the world different Eucharistic miracles. He categorized them, he cataloged them, and he put them in this website. It kind of took off. Then he created these educational posters that could be downloaded and put in schools. I actually went to one of the exhibitions in the top of New York State once. But he had this compelling compassion as well for his friends at school, the ones that maybe were bullied or picked on. There were a few people in his class with special needs. And this astounded everybody. Now, he kept saying that he saw the Eucharist as the highway to heaven. He would use phrases like, everyone is born an original, but many die a photocopy. These were the things that he lived by. And then tragically, when he was 15, Pat, he was feeling extremely unwell. He was brought into hospital in Milan, and he was diagnosed with terminal leukemia, and within a week he was dead.
Now, a couple of miracles have been attributed to him, because you have to have those before you're fit to be canonized. And he will be canonized, and it is in the Pope's diary, because I think for sainthood, the Pope has to do the business.
Yeah, and this is another fascinating thing, Pat, because the Pope is primarily out of action. We're waiting to see, you know, technically by canon law, it is the Pope and the Pope alone who can canonize someone who can, he can lift them to sainthood. So he will probably deputize it to a high ranking cardinal here. Now, again, the more traditional side of the Catholic Church is saying, hang on, this is such a break with tradition and by canon law, Holy Father, it is only you who can do this. But again, going back to what the doctor said when he was on the radio here, it's not a democracy. And Vatican City State, it's the Pope is the Pope and he will make the decision. But Sunday, April the 27th, that is the big day here in Rome. There are thousands of people coming from all over the world. And it will be the first millennial saint, as I say, Carlo Acutis will be lifted to sainthood. And it is an extraordinary moment because you have to remember, people think maybe that they throw around these titles of sainthood. I think in the past, before the Middle Ages, it was a bit of a spirituality and popularity contest. Whoever was popular just was given the label of a saint. But then they've made it quite strict. I mean, remember, it's been 18 years since he's died. They have a whole department at the Vatican, the Dicastery for the Causes of the Saint. And they will go when someone declares that something miraculous has happened. A team will go from the Vatican to the hospital. They will interview the doctors. They need written statements. It has to go beyond the explanation of scientific and human understanding. They bring in skeptics and non-believers to try and disprove the miraculous theory. So it really is put through its paces. So for someone to make it this far over 18 years, it is a huge moment for the church. Yeah. It's a disappointing that the Pope maybe won't be able to participate fully. But remember, Pope Francis, full of surprises.
We'll watch and wait. Colm Flynn, Vatican correspondent for EWTN News. Colm, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Back pain and stiffness mean mornings rough.
Pain made it tough to sleep until I started Cosentyx.
Cosentyx secukinumab is the number one prescribed treatment for adults that targets IL-17A, a molecule that may play a role in inflammation that contributes to ankylosing spondyloarthritis or non-radiographic axial spondyloarthritis, two types of inflammatory arthritis of the spine. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com. Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
I got real relief with Cosentyx.